and it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. Good morning to you, lurking conservatives. Good morning to all you, independent speculative researchers. That's why I want to say it. Independent speculative researchers. Good morning, Kalo. What's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
Kalo, the Costco ho. Mark Riley, today out. Today, sleeping in. Today, going to see if he has to be on a jury. That could be months, could be years. I've avoided it up to this point. Could you imagine being on a jury for a year? What a disaster that would be. And I know it's my civic duty, but I avoid it. I avoid jury duty. I have avoided it, but legitimately so. Not for just stupid reasons. I avoided it because I was not in town for the last time I got called in Los Angeles. I actually was called in to be a juror here in New York, and I forgot about it, and I was afraid for weeks that I would be arrested. Because they scare you on there. Did you ever get it?
Of course.
They scare you. They're like, this could be a fine of $1 million or else incarceration. And then you're going to be the guy that's going to be standing there. He's accused of not showing up for jury duty. And there's 12 people that don't want to be there going, oh, yeah, we're going to be fair with this dude. Not a problem. Hang him, bastard. Anyways, let me not digress too much too quickly. I have insane obsessive compulsive disorder, I'm finding, Chris. Yeah, do you know how long it takes?
Just realizing this?
No, but... Yes, on some level, I'm just realizing it because you know how many times I have to go in back into the kitchen to see if the gas is on? Do you know how many times I have to go in?
How many times?
It's stupid. I mean, I leave the house and my wife is sleeping in there. I've got to make sure all the windows are shut. You know, another thing, if I can just digress and not babble, and just take your time here, Mark, will you? I want to let people in on the process. I want them to hear the other voice, the one that's going on in my head. Slow it down, baby. Take it easy. It's going to be okay. It's Tuesday morning. There's a whole week to look forward to. So here's what happens. My wife sleeps on the couch when I go to bed because she comes in later than me, right? This is the new arrangement. She's here. She's here for months. She sleeps on the couch for a little while. Sometimes she'll come in. Well, I go to bed at 8.
And so what does she do?
Well, she comes in at whatever time she comes in, 11 or 12, after doing some comedy or hanging out with her friends, and she crashes on the couch. She's going to watch some television. She doesn't want to wake me up, and then I put her into bed when I get up. She'll sleep with all the windows open because she comes from hippie world. You know, she comes from Seattle. She comes from, you know, where they literally have a sign outside. Feel free to help yourself to something in the fridge if you're driving by. Okay? So she leaves the window open in the living room, and it drives me nuts because it's on the fire escape. Now, I know the possibilities of someone climbing up 3 floors and climbing into my house to steal my one thing that's worth any money, my guitar, or possibly to, you know, cut my throat while I'm sleeping, is slim. All right, it's slim. But still, I cannot go to sleep with that window open. So I shut the window. The place becomes hot. And by when I leave the house, you know, I want to open the window again because my wife's here. I know she has no problem sleeping with the window open. But then I feel bad if somebody came in, threw the fire escape, and cut her throat or stole my guitar. So I can't leave the house. All right. So I shut all the windows. So now it's a sauna in there. She's probably sweating in her sleep. But the one thing I do know is that the gas is not on. You know why?
Why?
Because I checked it 27 times before I left the house. Is that a problem? Should I be on medicine? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And, you know, and I'm not that I'm ashamed of it. But I'm just trying to think that maybe it's a problem, maybe it's obsessive compulsive disorder. But when I go out the door, all right, here's what happens. I go out the door, Chris, and I got a bag of cat food because I'm sad and I feed the cat outside that I don't even know what it looks like anymore. I go outside, all right, I walk out the door, I'm about to lock it. No, got to go and make sure the gas is off. So I go in, I look in the kitchen to see all the lines lined up. Like they should all be lined up, like no gas, right? Okay, I see they're all lined up. Good. All right, I'm out. I lock the door. I'm like, but wait, what if one of them's on a little bit? You know, what if there's a flame that I didn't see? So I go back in and I shut the kitchen light off to see if the flame is on. Okay, it's off, right? So I go back out. I lock the door, get downstairs, feed the cat. And I'm like, am I sure that it's on? And I run back upstairs and check it again. And then I get in the car with the Russian guy.
Now, does this happen when your wife is not in town?
I don't know. I just noticed it this morning. I've noticed it before in my life, but I mean, obviously this isn't important to the people out in the world, but it's important to me. You know, it's important that I express this and share it with everybody out there. Yeah, it happens sometimes when she's not around. I mean, but there are bigger problems in the world.
Wait, I'm sorry. I just have to go back. Are you ever in the car with the Russian guy and you're like, you know what, can you just pull over for 1 minute and go back into the house and check if the gas is off?
I did it once, and I felt bad. I did it once. No, but that wasn't about the gas, man. It wasn't about the gas. That was about, what was that about? I think I left the door unlocked. Because you go back, because I'm pretty sure I did lock the door. Because these things happen in a gray zone, man. I mean, we're getting up in the middle of the night. Who the hell knows? I'm surprised sometimes I leave with my pants on. You know what I mean? So I had him drive back around to see if the door was locked. Like, I wouldn't lock the door. Oh, can we talk about good deeds? Because I was talking about that yesterday. And, of course, some idiot emails me. I got to stop reading those emails altogether. You know, I'm going to move the mic right now, so don't freak out. Okay. Here's what's freaking me out. I talk about the Kingdom of Heaven. I go see the Orlando Bloom movie. I don't usually see movies like that, but I got to be honest with you. Gladiator is a guilty pleasure of mine. Not a great movie.
For me, too.
Not a genius movie, but uplifting. You know, when he stabs River Phoenix, not River, the other one, Joaquin Phoenix in the throat. Very satisfying. It's a very satisfying moment. It's very exciting. There's a lot of...
River Phoenix was already dead.
Yeah, and it had nothing to do with Russell Crowe. It was a
combination.
Allegedly. Yeah, oh, yeah. It was a combination of drugs. One of them maybe being Russell Crowe, but I doubt it because he was still in Australia at the time. But what I'm getting at here is that I'm watching this movie, The Kingdom of Heaven. It's out. And I'm not going to recommend it, okay? And, you know, as I said yesterday, someone says, is Orlando Bloom a good actor? Don't know. It's not clear to me. Can he hold the screen? Yes. Did he make me emote a little bit? He did, okay? I'm not attracted to him. You know, I'm not saying that it's...
Why not?
He's a little scrawny.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he's all right. I guess so. He's a good-looking guy for an elf king. But is he a good-looking guy for a Jesus knight? I don't know. He's a little scrawny to be...
So you're saying that he should have been in Lord of the Rings and not King of the Heaven?
He was good in Lord of the Rings. I could see him as an elf king. Wasn't he an elf king? Is that what he was? I'm not hip to all the fairy tales and the Star Wars and everything else. I'm not old either. I'm just not interested. Is that a crime? You know, I'm going to out somebody here. Can I out somebody? I ran into I went out to lunch at a sushi place with a book editor, Jerry Nadler, great guy. He gives me Chuck Palahniuk's new book.
Oh, great. That's a great book.
Have you seen that book?
No, Haunted? But I've read reviews about it. That's exciting.
I'm excited. You know, I read Choked. I read half of Fight Club. I didn't read Fight Club. Why was I just lying? Why did I catch myself in a lie? I'm ashamed that I haven't read Fight Club, but I read Choked. And I read Choke. Yeah. That was okay. I didn't think it was great. Let's get back to the point. It's got nothing to do with Jerry. It's got nothing to do with him giving me books.
Yeah, you're outing someone.
Kind of outing someone. Sitting across from me in Japonica downtown, Rob Corddry, who's been on our show.
Yeah.
And I say, how you doing, Rob? He goes, good. And I said, you need to be at work? It's the middle of the day because we're off for 2 weeks. And I'm walking out and Corddry's reading this big book. And I go, what book? He's going, I can't tell you. I go, what book is it? And he's like, because there's no book cover on it. It's a hardback with no cover. And he goes, I'm ashamed. I'm like, what is it? It's that Return of the Sith book. It's the Star Wars book. he was so ashamed that to read it in public that he took the cover off because he didn't want people to see it. And I said, there's no shame in that. I have geeks who work on my show that love this stuff. P.W. McDonald and you would read that book.
I do not own that book, and nor would I read the book. But, you know, maybe he was doing research.
Yeah, well, getting back to this Kingdom of Heaven issue. The issue was, like, I came out of that movie feeling like I needed to do more for people. Now, it's weird that it would take a movie. This was the point made by an emailer. It's like, how could you come out feeling like you wanted to do things for people or wanted to do more goodwill in the world after seeing a movie about these bloody, horrible Christian crusades? Well, the character of Orlando Bloom was the good crusader guy. All right, he was not the killer. He did kill some people, but the ultimate message underneath it all was that, you know, we need to take care of people that can't take care of themselves. Now, it's not about a crusade. I'm just trying to pull that out of the movie itself. I'm not trying to say that I'm validating crusades or anything else. It's just I'm just trying to say that when I left the movie, I wondered if there was enough, you know, goodwill in my life. For whatever reason, had very little to do with the movie, Chris. I was wondering to myself, do I do enough good things? Do I help enough people? Isn't it a good thing to help people? It is, right? It feels good to help people. Do I do it often enough? In New York, you never have, there's more opportunities in this city to just help anybody on a day-to-day basis. It's mind-blowing. But I know that I don't do it enough. I was on the train yesterday, it's 2 days ago, with my wife, okay? A blind guy gets on the train. Does anybody get up for him? No. But I instinctively jumped out of my seat and put him in the chair. And the guy's like, thank you. And I had that moment, you know, when you do something nice and you don't do enough nice things where you're about to cry right down in the chair? Were you about to cry on the train? Where you just sort of like, I just did the nicest thing. And I'm going to, you know, I'm about to cry. And then that's immediately followed by, did everyone see me do that? How about a little round of applause? Anything? Can I get a little round of applause for the nice thing I do? My question is to you, and if you're out there and if you're just, you know, sitting by yourself and you're wondering, you know, what you're listening to, is, you know, do you do enough nice things for people? Because it's so rewarding, and I do think it can change the karma of the planet a little bit. Am I getting a little too hippie-ish here? I think that if you do, you know, a couple of nice deeds, I think that if you just reach out to somebody and just help somebody out a little bit, just during the day, even a little thing, if anyone's got any weird little things that they did in secret, any weird little good deeds that they did to help somebody in the last week or in the last month or anything, and they want a little credit for it anonymously on a radio show, call me up, 866-303-2270. It's early. We're going to cover some news here. Mark Riley, as I said, don't panic, is waiting for jury duty. He's going to go in and see if he's going to be on jury duty. We've got a great show today. We've got Mark Crispin Miller is going to come on and talk about the Conyers Report, about the Christo-Fascist Zombie Brigades, about any number of things that Mark Crispin Miller talks about. We're going to, the struggle with Mark Crispin Miller, of course, is to be not to suck the entire listening public into a hole of hopelessness. That's going to be the challenge because, you know, with Mark, you just never know. You're always teetering on the vortex of despair and hopelessness, which a lot of liberals love to surf that. They're like, yeah, some liberals, what are you doing? I'm surfing in the vortex of hopelessness. Great. I'll meet you down there. I'll be here. And you mind if I just fish from the beach, or do I have to get right in it with you? Also, we have Judy Gold later in the show. We have a band called Antigone Rising, at least three of them, who are going to be singing here in the studio. Ambassador Joe Wilson, apparently, still has not figured out who outed his wife, but has figured out that his book is now out in paperback. So we'll be talking to him at 17 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Rob Corddry from The Daily Show, here to remind you that when top news reporters and investigative journalists like me want their news skewed so far to the left it's wearing a dress, we turn to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Free two-week supply of TheraBreath. Dial 1-800-590-9870. That's 1-800-590-9870.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here. Mark Riley is out for jury duty today. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm taking calls about good deeds for some reason. I'm trying to shift my tone. I'm trying to shift my heart into a place where, you know, I get a little something back, some goodness out there in the world. You know, there was a time where I used to do a little more. I got to be honest with you in the sense that good deeds, I don't know if I do them for the right reason. You know, I did, like I said on the train there the other day, I got up for the blind guy instinctively, and then he sat down, and I felt very overwhelmed with a certain amount of emotion and excitement that I helped the dude out. I'll throw a little bit of change to the way of people that need it occasionally, but I don't have a policy on it, Chris. I don't have a policy.
You do it more for the glory.
No, I just don't have a policy on giving homeless people money. You should have a policy in place for yourself. Either you do it all the time or you don't do it. You know, you can't start judging people like that because I think it's almost worse. That's the worst.
Well, are there certain specifics, like if a guy's playing an instrument, I kind of feel, you know what? He entertained me for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's weird because I have an alternative view on that. It's like, I don't want this. Why are you blaring Hey Jude on the accordion? You know, to me in my head. Why are you doing that to me? I'm just trying to, you know, keep it together and get home before I lose my mind.
You know what? It's not for everyone, man.
No, I know that, but that's just it. I should have a choice.
But, you know, okay, if he can reach one person in that train, in that car, then it's working.
But the problem is the guy who plays Hedge on the accordion, blind. So I always give him money because you're sort of like, yeah, it's kind of crappy. Hey, Jude, but the guy's blind. You know, and now I feel bad for saying that about that guy. The one guy I always used to give money to is the guy who used to show up in the down jacket and the pants with no shirt on. He was always grimy and dirty. And he used to shuffle around the cars, like around the poles. Like he'd do this weird shuffle with his feet, and he would keep rhythm. And he would sing like classic hits in some sort of strange kind of old 1910 gramophone way. Like, take me home, country roads.
Wow.
Like, yeah, it almost sounded like he was also mimicking the static of the period. And I was so impressed with the guy. The guy was so far gone. I'd always give him money. And I'll give money to, I usually give somebody. I have a hard time with crackheads because I know where it's going to go. But still, if you have a policy, you have a policy. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, if somebody, it seems, if they're missing a limb, that's a dollar. If the guy clearly is going to use it on crack, yeah, I got 35 cents, 36 cents. I'll help you towards that pipe, you know, but you got to have a policy. Stop saying, you know, I'm just letting you in on the process. All right, here we go. Let's take a call from Herb, listening to LIB 1190 here in Manhattan. Good morning, Herb.
Well, good morning. Last week I had a surge of benevolence.
Oh, yeah? What happened? How'd you do?
Well, there was a guy in the subway with a little red thread on his jacket. I took it off, and he never knew. I think Jesus would approve of that. I do these things in secret. It's the only act of charity I've ever done in my entire life.
In your entire life, Herb?
Yeah, I wonder if I go before the pearly gates and Jerry Falwell's there.
Yeah. But we're all in trouble if that's the case.
Hell, because I did that one thing.
You'll be holding your thread, Herb. You'll be saying, "But Jerry, look, I have my thread. Maybe you should curl that thread into a little loop and put it in place of a ribbon on your lapel." And when people go, "What does that stand for?" Say, "I took it off and fell on the subway, and I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that."
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Thank you for your strange call. I appreciate the. Actually, Herb, you know, if that's the only thing you've done to help anybody, you've got some work to do on your karma and your soul, my friend. How does that go? John in Louisville, Kentucky. I was just thinking about Louisville, Kentucky.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I miss you in Cincinnati, Mark.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people did. but
sorry,
we had a good time. You're only like an hour away in Louisville.
Yes, I am.
Where were you? Drunk at the Derby?
Derby week, yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Oh. So what's going on? You want to share some good deed with us?
Well, actually, I wanted to make an observation. When you do a good deed and somebody knows about it,
yeah,
then you've done it for the wrong reason.
That's interesting.
It becomes a selfish act and not a selfless act.
Wow.
Because you're doing it for yourself, man. And that's the whole karmic thing.
Yeah.
Jesus, God, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But for somebody to know about charity, it has to... it no longer becomes charity.
So
I give exemptions to guys like Bono. He has to loan his persona, you know, in order to make good happen. So he can't do it anonymously. And Bill Gates, you can't move that kind of money around without somebody knowing about it.
So you let them off the hook?
Yeah, the general people like us, though, you can't let people know about it or it's no longer...
I better stop talking then, John. Thanks for calling. Oh, my God. So... Wow, now I have to sit here and wonder, have I ever done anything that was truly selfless?
I'm sure you have. Come on, think back.
Go ahead and stay on the phone if you want. We'll take some more. We'll cover some news when we come back. It's Air America Radio.
Morning's Edition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Dinner together in New York. Oh, my God. And God forbid you want to sign.
Randy Rose on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here. Mark Riley is awaiting jury duty, perhaps. Does not think he's going to get it. It's Morning's Edition. It's Air America Radio. We're taking a few phone calls about the nature of good deeds and charity. Apparently, if anyone, according to a gentleman that just called us, if anyone knows about the good deed you did, it is selfish. But he's willing to forgive Bono. He said Bono's got no choice but for people to know about his good deeds because he's Bono. You know, who was the other guy that he was? Oh, Bill Gates. Bill Gates is allowed to tell people about his good deeds because he's Bill Gates and he can be forgiven. Huh? Yeah.
It's just hard to move that money around.
Yeah, without someone knowing it. And Bill Gates' dad does a lot of that, too. Here's a relative good deed, a surprise good deed. The doctors who were researching this Revlimid, it was a treatment for MDS, which I'm not sure how to pronounce. I'm sorry. Myelodysplastic syndrome. It's a blood disease. It's even more common than leukemia. Apparently, it's a group of disorders caused by the bone marrow not making enough healthy, mature blood cells. About 15,000, 20,000 new cases are diagnosed each year in the United States, and as many as 50,000 Americans have it now. They created this treatment to create alleviate the disorder, and apparently it cured the disease in some people. This is an amazing story. After about 6 months on the drug, 66% no longer needed blood transfusions, said the study's leader, Dr. Alan Lisp of the H. Lee Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa, Florida. A year later, three-fourths of them still don't need transfusions. So out of nowhere, they think they're just going to treat part of this disease. They end up treating the cancer itself. This is good news for the seven people that will be able to afford this medication. For everybody else, for all of you uninsured or borderline insured, these are the kind of breakthroughs that can only make you go, damn it, why can't I have better coverage? I'm never going to be able to get this stuff. When is it going to be available in Canada? This is the way it goes. There's going to be, after the few people that they were able to get for the study that had this disease and probably had no money whatsoever, they were volunteering for the study so they could make the $100 a day on the study. I'm speculating here. All right, they are going to get cured, but is this going to be available to everybody? Is this how medicine works? I went to the pharmacy yesterday. What a travesty just to get pills for something silly, like this stupid thing that's about to happen on my lip. It takes like 2 years. You got to wait 45 minutes. It's understaffed. You don't know if your health coverage is going to cover it. You're always surprised about your health coverage. Why can't we just all have it? Is that a big issue? I'm one of those people. I believe that the government should provide us.
Especially for herpes.
Yeah. Well, come on, dude. I mean, disease is disease. You're going to start judging diseases? Is that what you're going to do? Are you going to do that, Kale? Are you going to be on the slippery slope of one of those people? Hey, you deserved it. You shouldn't have put your mouth there. Is that what it is?
Oh, wow.
So what? You should walk through the streets of New York in shame with a festering boil on your face so people should know. See what he did? Somebody made a mistake. Hello, look at the mistake guy. Why don't you be a little more careful where you put your mouth? So that's the kind of person you are, that kind of punishment. I don't deserve to be covered for something that maybe I'm ashamed of. Maybe I don't even know where it comes from. You don't know. Now, apparently, like 99% of the people in the world have venereal warts, at least the possibility to give it to people. But what, are you going to judge everybody? Maybe you should look a little deeper at yourself. Maybe someone should have a couple of tests. How about that, Kalo? Lay off. Let's talk about some good deeds.
I will not fear my meat.
I won't fear my meat. All right? And I will not fear your judgment in me either. But this is good news for people. Wow, what was that? Can I have some
freedom?
All right, so I look. This is good news for people who have this horrendous disease, this MLS, and hopefully they can get this medicine when it becomes available. I like medical breakthroughs; they make me excited. This is this is a medical breakthrough that means they cured one kind of cancer. That they're making some progress with cancer. I see. My big fear, and I think I've told you this before, is I'll be on my deathbed. And as I'm about to take my last breath, someone will come in with a newspaper and go, they just cured death, and then I'll be, that's my big fear. And then again, what if they do? What if they actually make everybody live forever? Could you imagine that? How tedious would that be? I can barely get through a week, a month. I mean, maybe I'm not old enough to appreciate it fully, but living forever just by judging by my father, I don't want to. It seems interminable. Just a little while, and then, though I'm afraid of the moment when I die, I don't want to live forever because that would just be ridiculous. Then I'd have to see these same cycles of advertising for bad movies. Did you ever notice that every time a bad movie comes out, they plaster the place with posters, the coming attractions are up, and already, as an older person, as someone who's been around the block once or twice, this movie's going to be crap. But they do the same cycle of advertising every time. It's draining. It's draining.
Which one are you talking about?
Any of them. The only gratifying thing. The last one I remember was what's the new the J-Lo movie? What is that movie?
Oh, Monster in Love.
How is that? Look at that. How is that not going to be out? Who the hell's seeing that movie? Who cares?
Yeah, that and Sahara.
Sahara made money though. How could that possibly make money? I saw the huge advertisement with dumb Matthew McConaughey. Women must really love that guy because he is a talentless moron.
My mom saw that movie.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Back in the day when we were closer to the source, this is my theory about almost everything: rock and roll, movies, whatever. The closer you are to the invention of light or the camera or the first time the electric guitar was played, the closer to the source, the better you have the integrity of the product because, they were the originals. So if someone like McConaughey steps in and they're saying he's a new Paul Newman because he kind of fits that mold because he kind of looks like him. But he can't act like anybody. There's a vanity. They pay these people too much, and he just stands there with his pouty, stupid face showing his dumb stomach, and, people go see the movie. That guy's going to get paid $20 million because women are excited because he's sweaty and in the desert. They can't be going for that Zahn guy. What the hell has that guy ever done? He's not even funny. And who's the dumb girl in that movie? What's her name?
Penelope.
Talentless. What has she ever done? Talentless.
Vanilla Sky.
Who even saw that movie? Vanilla Sky. I auditioned for that movie.
Did you really?
That's when I met Tom Cruise.
Oh, wow. And that's also a Cameron Crowe movie.
Yeah, Cameron Crowe likes me for, apparently he loves me for a 30-second part. You know, he'll have me in on any of his movies to read for a 30-second part. He had me come in and read for a TV commentator in that one. I thought I was just going to go in for Cameron, my old buddy, who I had dinner with when we were shooting Almost Famous. Got a very important part. Did sit down and eat dinner with me and my wife, and I. Well, he brings me in to do this one line or two lines of Vanilla Sky, and I walk in, and Tom Cruise is standing there. And I said, you know, why isn't he standing up? And he said, he is. He's a very tiny guy. But he's standing there, and so much of my energy is now going into just dealing with Tom Cruise energy. You know, I could barely audition because I was just, I'm standing there in front of this little ball of energy, Tom Cruise, who's judging me, who's laughing at me.
No, he wasn't.
He was. And he says, I want to come see this Jerusalem Syndrome. It sounds great. And at the time, it had been over for months. And I'm like, well, I could do it. But that was stupid. You say weird things in moments
but
of desperation.
You're like, oh, you're the gate guy from Almost Famous.
Yeah, I tried to jar his memory because Cameron Crowe said he was in Almost Famous.
Fucking dead!
Yeah, I did that. I did that for him. And Tom Cruise goes, no, it doesn't ring a bell. And I said, the part where it's like, can we just get on with this?
Yeah.
All right, let's do a good deed. Oh, by the way, we're going to Bill Moyer stands up for himself. You know, this Kenneth Tomlinson guy, the Republican stooge who is in charge of PBS, has been saying that they're just going to take all the money from PBS and put it into crappy music programs and revisionist news, and they're criticizing what they call liberal bias on PBS, which is ridiculous. And he personally took a pot. Is it pot shot or pop shot? I never know. Pot shot. Pot? P-O-P? P-O-T, pot shot. Isn't it weird I can go through an entire life and not know what the saying is?
Yeah.
Pot shot at Bill Moyers, who responded with some brilliant, beautiful, lyrical, uplifting reaction to this Republican stooge, Tomlinson, who is in charge of PBS. And we're going to hear a little bit of that in a second. But I do want to take another good deed call. Ray, listening to WWTQ in Memphis. Wow, how are you, Ray?
Good morning, Mark. I hit that radio at 5 o'clock every morning when I get up, just like I used to reach for a cigarette.
Me too.
You know, I'm so glad the Holy Spirit is convicting you of your cold and callous ways. I've been praying for you ever since that.
Really?
Ever since that untasteful and bungled Jesus joke you tried to tell a couple of weeks ago.
Well, maybe it's working. Maybe it's working, Ray.
You know, Mark, God placed two lights in the heaven to light the earth. The sun represents heat or love or
care,
and the moon represents light or faith.
Mm-hmm.
These Christians, fundamentalists, especially Catholics, are pretty good at charity. It's easier to get a handout from an atheist or a secular person or the drinking crowd than it is born again. They make faith positive thinking, kingdom power. They make that the main thing of religion instead of doing good for society.
That's good. Thank you for calling, Ray. And thanks for praying for me there. Nah, he's all right. His point was essentially that Christian fundamentalists, the Christian right, have made their faith, and like you deal with these mega churches. I've read about this. A lot of these mega churches, a lot of these churches that are designed to bring people in, these churches that are designed to literally build a community, a town, a school, that are literally taking over certain parts of this country. A lot of them have the idea of Jesus removed entirely from their agenda. They don't even talk about Jesus. They talk about personal empowerment. These are corporate churches that are professing a corporate Christian ideology. It's basically a giant corporatized Christian cult designed to make followers. This is what they've made very efficient, and this is why the Republicans rely so much on this base, is this is a corporatized Christian cult situation where it is about personal empowerment, which is part of the Republican agenda, the neocon death cult agenda. What Ray was talking about, Ray is obviously a different type of Christian who I offended at some point, yet instead of being an ass, When he called me, he said he prayed for me, and perhaps some of his prayers have been answered. I don't know. Coincidences, you know. If John Larson were in the booth, I'd be getting an earful right now. Like, dude, don't fall for the fairy tale. I'm not falling for anything. But what he said that was important was that he could expect charity out of atheists, out of the drinking crowd, out of just average people that don't care or don't that will do it as a reaction, as an innate decency, as a human being. He can rely more on them for charity than on fundamentalist Christians who are selfish and self-involved and no longer even care about what charity means in terms of behaving in a Christian way. How do you like that? So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit. Oh, let's do the Bill Moyer stuff and the PBS stuff. Look forward to this because this is so, you know, you get these clips of sound occasionally that are extremely uplifting. I think it'll be a nice way to start your day. It's 45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hey, this is Ted Leo, and you're listening to The Spirit of Radio, Mornings Edition on Air America Radio. Our state variation. Call American Life, 1-866-492-2500. That's 1-866-492-2500.
Fifty past the hour, Mark Maron here. Mark Riley is awaiting a decision about jury duty this morning. I don't guess he's there yet. I think he probably took a little time to sleep in this morning's edition. It's Air America Radio. I bet you I'm certain that he slept in a little bit, wouldn't you?
Without question.
It's probably going to screw him up for the rest of the week. I almost screwed up last night. I don't even know how. I got a lot of sleep over the weekend, and then last night I couldn't quite get to eat. When you're on the schedule, you never know, but I'm not going to complain. You know why? Because I enjoy doing the show. And I had some dreams yesterday, and I'm going to share this one with you right now. I'm wandering through a magical world of meat. The sky is pink and marbled. I cross a bacon bridge over a river of bubbling grease. Waiting for me is a huge pig in a top hat and a morning coat. He says, "Greetings, Master Mark. I'm Mayor Porklesnout. Welcome to Meat City. Hope you brought your appetite." Then he showers me with pork rind confetti. Along the meatloaf road, every variety of meat is lined up to greet me and offer themselves for my dining pleasure. I start eating everything in my path, and it's amazing. Hams and pork chops and tenderloins and gizzards and pig's feet and lynx sausages covered with gooey white gravy. A wall of steaks lined up from tartare to well done. There are pork dumplings you can pluck right off trees. Inside a giant coop are General Tso's chickens and turkeys stuffed with croutons and Peking ducks and pheasants under glass. But they're under a transparent glass cover made out of meat. I cross under a waterfall of barbecue sauce, drenching racks of ribs and burgers and pulled pork. Bambi comes up to me, and her sides are cut out, and she says, "Here, Mark, have some delicious venison." And I eat Bambi. Then an ostrich comes up to me. I say, "Ostrich, I didn't know you could eat ostrich." He says, "You can eat me, Mark, and I wish you would." So I do. But just as I finish, I realize that I'm sweating a jus and that my skin is forming a bologna rind. Just then, a fish pokes his head out of a Jamaican meat patty and says, "Hey, Mark, aren't you supposed to be kind of a vegetarian? Grab onto the vine." Suddenly, a huge vine appears, and it was a color I'd seen before in Meat City. It was a color I hadn't never seen before in Meat City. It was green. I'm bloated and sleepy, but I manage to grab onto the vine that drags me up to a land of baby carrots and radishes and kale. I look down, and Mayor Porklesnout is waving goodbye and crying one gravy tear. I woke up and my bed was filled with tofurkey.
Oh, I'm starving.
Isn't that amazing? It was like a fairy tale. This could have been a children's book, couldn't it? My adventures in the world of meat. Meat City. Meatland. This should be a game. A game board called Meatland. Okay, enough improvising. Let's go. Here we go. Bill Moyers comes back at Ken Tomlinson, who actually had to hire people to watch PBS. He couldn't watch it himself. He hired a group, at the cost of the taxpayers to watch PBS and make a decision that PBS has a liberal bias. And he specifically attacked Bill Moyers and Bill Moyers' program. Bill Moyers is one of the great journalists, one of the great reasonable journalists, a beacon of humanity in the world of journalism, recently retired, is now saying that he might have to come back just to feed Kenneth Tomlinson his lunch. So the attack on Moyers has been answered last night, Sunday night. We have some tape of this, and I think it's important because, as I've read before, and people have criticized me reading from this because they don't think it's specific enough from The 14 Elements of Fascism by Lawrence W. Britt. It doesn't matter if you don't think it's the right list of fascistic tendencies. To me, it works. I'm going to pick up The Anatomy of Fascism. I hear that's a great book. But number six on the elements of fascism is a controlled mass media. Under some of the regimes, the mass media were under strict direct control and could be relied upon never to stray from the party line. Other regimes exercised more subtle power to ensure media orthodoxy. Methods included the control of licensing and access to resources, economic pressure, appeals to patriotism, and implied threats. The leaders of the mass media were often politically compatible with the power elite. The result was usually success in keeping the general public unaware of the regime's excesses. And this, of course, in reflection of Newsweek yesterday saying that they are retracting their story that is clearly true after being coerced by the White House, blamed by the White House for causing the problems in the Middle East region, in the region of Afghanistan and Iraq. It's Newsweek's fault that the Muslims are angry. Are they out of their damn mind? How insane is that? How much blame dispersal can this administration be capable of? And what is wrong with 50% of the stupid morons in this country? I'm not calling names. You're honestly morons if you still believe that weapons of mass destruction was the reason we went to Iraq. If you believe that Newsweek is responsible for Muslim unrest in Afghanistan and Iraq and Pakistan, if you believe that, you're a moron. And you should be ashamed of yourself, because what you're calling your core values are enabling you to embrace a policy of profound denial. You are embracing fascism. And let's listen to Bill Moyer's response to a Republican stooge, Kenneth Tomlinson, who is now in charge of PBS and wants to start cutting programming, attacking what he sees as a liberal bias, which in my eyes, usually on PBS, almost 99% of the time when it's not a puppet or a children's show, is truth.
But I should put my detractors on notice. They might just compel me out of the rocking chair and back into the anchor chair. Who are they? I mean the people obsessed with control, using the government to threaten and intimidate. I mean the people who are hollowing out middle-class security even as they enlist the sons and daughters of the working class to make sure Ahmad Shalabi winds up controlling Iraq's oil. I mean the people who turn faith-based initiatives into Karl Rove's slush fund, who encourage the pious to look heavenward and pray so as not to see the long arm of privilege and power picking their pockets. I mean the people who squelch free speech in an effort to obliterate dissent and consolidate their orthodoxy into the official view of reality from which any deviation becomes unpatriotic heresy. That's who I mean. And if that's editorializing, so be it. A free press is one where it's okay to state the conclusion you're led to by the evidence.
A free press is one where you can state your conclusion that you're led to by the evidence. That was Bill Moyer's National Conference on Media Reform in St. Louis 2 days ago. Profound stuff. And we have more of his response to the Republicanization by the neocon death cult of PBS. And we're going to talk more about that with Mark Crispin Miller, who will be here to talk about many other things as well, including the Conyers Report. So stay with us. You're listening to the Morning Sedition. It's Air America Radio. It's 57 past the hour. Six past the hour, it's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. How are you? Wake up, sheeple. It's Tuesday. We're going to be okay. Right, Mark Crispin Miller? Tell me we're going to be okay, Mark Crispin Miller.
Yes, you know I'm always good for a little optimism.
Yeah,
we're going to be fine. No, I wouldn't listen. Yeah, I'd be here if I thought it was.
Oh, I can hear the vacuum in your chest already. I'm being sucked into the vortex. No, I'm kidding. Mark Crispin Miller is here. He is the author. Oh, here's a classic. Boxed In, The Culture of Television. Remember when you didn't care about politics as much?
Yeah. It was like another universe.
It was, right? Yeah. The Bush's Lexicon, Observations on a National Disorder. Also, his play, The Patriot Act, is available on DVD. A lot of these things are available. What's your website?
MarkCrispinMiller.blogspot.com.
Complicated. We'll get that stuff on our website. The most important thing now is that Mark, his family, and many other people have gotten together and put out What Went Wrong in Ohio. This is the Conyers Report on the 2004 presidential presidential elections, got an introduction by Gore Vidal. It is out like today, right?
Like yesterday. Last week, yeah.
It's a very important document. I've been, you know what? I'll tell you honestly, Mark. Let me, you know, first let me do these cliff notes because I think you'll enjoy this. For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we already talked about on the program. It's time for today's morning's edition cliff notes. White House claims Newsweek report about flushing pages of the Quran down toilet in front of prisoners damages U.S. image. The report triggered several days of rioting in Afghanistan, and violence rose so sharply in Iraq, the Source Awards broke out. White House spokesman Scott McClellan said, I think there's a certain journalistic standard that should be met, and in this instance, it was not. Okay, next question. Yes, in the back, Mr. Gannon. Rumsfeld says, U.S. base closings are essential to war on terrorism. Asked what would become of the closed bases, Rumsfeld said, well, obviously the military bases will be converted into labor camps for liberals, gays, minorities, non-fundamentalists, and the poor. Do I have to spell everything out? No, I don't. Did I spell everything out? I don't know. You tell me. Drugs' effect on cancer stuns doctors. The Bush administration is confident that a fake-based version of the same thing is right around the corner. FDA advisor Dr. David Hager has written a 45-page briefing recommending the drug be tested further to determine if it can in any way help him get more anal sex. These are some of your morning condition cliff notes for today. Come on, Mark Crispin Miller, you're not going to do that. There's nothing not funny about that, is there? Come on! Here we go. Moving on. Let's talk about PBS, my friend.
Okay, shoot.
Kenneth Tomlinson, Republican stooge. Tell me about Ombudsman. These are people that they put in charge to sort of look over, relegate what goes on PBS, also Republican stooges. This is a Republican takeover of PBS. They're going to dismantle any sort of actual journalistic content out of PBS. Did you hear some of this Moyer stuff?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a real kicking speech. Really great.
Yeah, we played one bit. Let's hear another bit, and we'll talk some more with Mark here.
The more compelling our journalism, the angrier became the radical right of the Republican Party. That's because the one thing they loathe more than liberals is the truth.
Those half of that audience listens to this show occasionally. That was Bill Moyers at the National Conference on Media Reform in St. Louis. Bill Moyers, of course, a retired host of Now, which was a PBS staple. It was a journalistic staple. It was looked to as a barometer of good journalism. And now he's come out and he's starting to speak out. You know what baffles me is that there are people out there that whose core values, you know, the idea that 50% of this country, you know, still believes. And they think this is a good number. Some progressives or liberals think that this is a good number, that 50% now believe that WMDs was not the reason we went into Iraq. But the disturbing number is 50% of this country are retarded due to their core values. Part of their core value system is that if they're going to lie for the good of America, then I'm all for that. I don't care. I don't even process it as a lie.
Well, you sure it's 50% who feel, I mean, have you talked to them?
I talked to a couple of them. It's a very small poll. I talked to two people. One guy said no. The other guy said yes. That's 50%.
That's 50%. Yes.
Is that
the
polls work?
Math is unassailable.
Math polls are amazing.
Here's a better barometer.
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, the retardation you talk about, it's not due to their core values. It's due to their media intake. It's due to what they absorb day after day. And it's nowhere near 50% who feel, hey, you know, if they say black is white, black is white. You want an accurate an assessment of how many people feel that way. Those people are fanatics. How many people approved of what they did with Terry Schiavo in the House? 18%, right? 82% of Americans are completely grossed out by that. Because there was the Dominionist movement. There was the theocratic movement that's really driving this whole agenda. There it was, out in the open, you know, doing what it does.
Embarrassing us in front of Europe.
To say the least, yeah. Right? And nobody went for it. You know, Bush comes out for that, but not for the tsunami, right?
Right.
And he lost points even among conservatives, even among self-described conservative Christians. So, you know, I don't think the country's that split. I don't think it's split right down the middle is what I mean to say.
Well, I think that for me, you know, I guess you know, obviously propaganda has a lot to do with that. And I know that you're right. And I know that Terry Schiavo, the idea that, you know, you could usurp individual rights – and states' rights, you know, and once that, you know, people started to realize that became a human story for them and like, who the hell are these guys?
Right.
And who the hell's driving this thing?
Right.
But what frightens me is, you know, out of people's fear and out of the idea that they need safety or that they need to be Americans, they are willing to forgive lies. They are willing to forgive revisionism. They are willing to forgive propaganda because they would rather somebody tell them what to do.
Well, that's true in every society. Yeah. Hermann Göring said it in the Nuremberg prison. You want to take over any country, it doesn't matter what kind of government it has, you convince them that they're under attack and that anyone who criticizes the regime is endangering your safety. That's a universal. It's been with us since the beginning of civilization.
Sure. Now what they're doing with public broadcasting is completely disturbing because I think they're seeing this as this and the college campuses are the two prizes left for them.
That's
on
right.
Some level.
That's right. I mean, this once would have sounded like an explosive analogy, but the Nazi strategy in the 30s, the domestic strategy, was referred to as Gleichschaltung, which means streamlining. The Nazi Party was very careful to streamline every sector of the society and the culture. That is to say, to iron out all non-Nazis and make sure Nazis were in the academy, make sure Nazis were in the press, and so on. Yeah. Same thing here. These guys want to destroy, you know, what they take to be a bastion of foaming leftism in the academy. And I'm here to tell you that most of the political work that goes on in the academy in this country poses no threat to the status quo. You know, it's political only nominally. And they definitely want to destroy the few shreds of decent journalism that are left on PBS. And now they're going to start monitoring NPR, you know. And it's not Big Bird. I mean, by and by, Big Bird will be in the streets there of Sesame Street speaking in tongues and handling snakes.
And
that will happen eventually.
I also heard that Oscar the Grouch is going to pull himself up by his bootstraps and make a go at it.
Yeah, it's true that with the help of a faith-based organization. But that's around the corner, okay?
Yeah.
They're less concerned with Christianizing Sesame Street right now than they are with getting rid of Frontline.
Getting rid of the news. Getting rid of real journalism. And also, you know, putting money into musical program in NPR that, you know, God knows the world needs more classical music on a day-to-day basis and less news.
I think we could agree the world needs more gospel music.
Hopefully they'll get the Toby Keith going and the gospel and they'll mix it up a little bit. And maybe some German marching music wouldn't be bad either, would it, Mark? But the idea is that this frightens me too, because you work in academia, and I got very upset a couple of weeks ago at Brian Anderson because I actually saw him speak, which just started making me, you know, froth at the mouth and want to kill him. He's the author of South Park Conservative Manhattan Institute Guy, and he is I'd like to talk a little bit in terms of, you know, not just in terms of PBS, but I think that it's true that these little things that you're talking about, but taking over everything, but they look at the real prize as the college campuses, and that's somewhere where you live. So I want to talk a little bit about that, and we'll get more about PBS in just a second. We're talking to Mark Crispin Miller. The book is out this week, What Went Wrong in Ohio, The Conyers Report on the 2004 Presidential Election, with an introduction by Gore Vidal, available at Amazon and at markcrispinmiller.blogspot.com. We'll have it available on our site tomorrow. We didn't get it up and going today for that, but we'll talk a little bit about that. I can't use the word conspiracy theorist anymore. Did you know that? Was that always?
You can't use those words?
Well, they get pissed off. When did that become a Republican frame? I was proud of being a conspiracy theorist. Now I have to call myself an independent speculative researcher. 16 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Mark Maron's mom, and you're listening to my son and his friend Mark Riley. They're very good boys. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Pending personal injury claim and have no place else to turn for the money. Call Whitehaven Funding at 1-800-559-6805. Call today.
Hey, it's 20 past the hour. Mark Maron here. Mark Riley is awaiting his sentence in terms of whether or not he will be on jury duty for the next few days. But it's a civic duty, and everyone should do it once or twice or I've avoided it, but we'll see. He seems to think he's not going to be put on jury duty. Are you listening to the Morning Sedition, Fair America Radio? I'm sitting here with Mark Crispin Miller, the multi-talented cultural critic, academic, performance artist. The guy does it all. You might have seen his book, Cruel and Unusual, Bush and Cheney's New World Order, The Bush Dyslexicon, Patriot Act. His show is available on DVD at markcrispinmiller.blogspot.com. That's not so hard after you talk about it.
It's got a certain rhythm.
You do still teach.
Yeah, I know. Last I looked.
Okay. Well, you know, I got very pissed off at Brian Anderson, the South Park conservative guy, the Manhattan Institute guy, because he is trying to appropriate the youth of this country. He wrote basically an apology for South Park in the sense that conservatives should not disregard it because of its vulgarity, because these kids are saying crappy things about liberals. And despite the fact that they also criticize conservatives as well, and it happens to have some pretty, I think, poignant satire, I dig it myself, is that he's trying to appropriate it for conservatives. Because he thinks it's the key in to the youthful mindset, that they are so detached from history and so detached from the radical roots that used to be important on campuses in this country, that they can start appropriating them through things like South Park and through other comedians that I'm not going to go into right now. But as a teacher, what do you see on the campuses? Is this how strong is this threat?
I've never seen anything like that, at least among the students I teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach a lot of students,
mm-hmm.
mostly undergraduates, and they're all pretty sophisticated. I mean, the real target here is not the students in the short term. The target here is the faculty. I mean, this administration is basically one long act of belated revenge against the 60s. That's
started out
pathological
in the early 70s. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. So that's why they put Cheech Marin in prison for selling bongs over the internet.
Yeah.
That's why they put marijuana at the
Tommy Chong. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're right.
I know you might have smoked a little too much pot.
I'm kidding.
Please.
Yeah.
Right, go ahead. Go ahead.
You shouldn't say that to me though, because marijuana is now their number one priority in the drug war.
Then it was only a joke. It was me who smoked the pot, and I don't teach. I just sit here in the morning, and I...
Anyway, Negroponte and Elliot Abrams and all these guys who should still be, warming jail cells, et cetera. That's what this is all about. They're fueled by hatred of that moment, and I'll tell you why. That moment represents to them nothing but, wild self-abandon, self-indulgence, and so on. Who is more self-indulgent than this crowd? I mean, let's look. You look at the rogues gallery of recent, recently revealed sexual offenders among the ranks.
Uh-huh.
From Hager to the mayor of Spokane to Jeff Gannon and so on. I think it goes up way high in the White House. We're talking about closet cases who basically detest what's inside themselves.
And they're going to take it all out on us.
And blame the 60s.
Did you read this? Yeah, dig this too. Rick Santorum. This was in response to Harry Reid. Fighting for the filibuster, right?
I heard this. Yeah, go ahead.
This quote is baffling. Senator Reid, this is a quote from Rick Santorum, quote, Senator Reid has refused to now we are forced, this is Rick Santorum, quote, now we are forced to do something that societies often do when people can't control their desires. We have to pass laws to stop their desires, end quote. But this was in reference to Harry Reid fighting for the filibuster. What a strange phraseology
it's
that
bizarre.
Was.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre because if they're using the nuclear option, they're the ones who are being unrestrained. They're the ones who aren't controlling themselves.
Right, absolutely.
So he has his eyes on the prize. And what this is all about, all this stuff, is making the judiciary completely subordinate. That is to say, Christianizing it.
Yeah,
we were talking about the academy and so on. These people detest pluralism. They hate difference profoundly. They are ideologically committed against democracy for all those reasons, right? So they want to get these theocratic types on the bench, because if they can get them on the bench and pass the Constitution Restoration Act, and I'm waiting for the New York Times to cover this, the Constitution Restoration Act will declare that God is the sovereign basis of American law. What that will mean, Mark, is that one of these judges, or a judge anywhere, could sentence an adulterer or a homosexual to death by stoning.
To stoning, right. But
right?
Does that mean
under this law, the decision can't be reviewed by any other judge. So, in essence, will be governed by the book of Leviticus.
I get it. But does that mean on some level, if I don't believe in God, I can do whatever I want?
It means on some level, if you don't believe in God, you are going to go to the killing field, my friend.
Well, you know, not to get too, I understand what you're saying, and we're going to talk to Joe Wilson in a minute, Ambassador Joe Wilson. I know you want to talk to him a little bit about, you know, what it's like to be in the sights of these guys in such a direct way, the right. I also, like, later, after we talk to Joe Wilson, we'll get into the Conyers report, but I also want to address what we can do, where the hope is in terms of certainly on campuses and certainly in light of you are a member of a faculty. I'd like to know, though you are a member of faculty at NYU, there are state schools where these guys are really feeling the crunch and feeling threatened.
Definitely.
Tenured professors, and you got idiots like David Horowitz, who himself is a reaction to the 60s. This guy was a radical who turned conservative, and they typed the amount of self-hatred he must experience in order to do what he's doing to faculties in this country to stifle, you know, dissent and contrary opinion, pluralism, as you were saying, is criminal. I just would like to find some hope in this later, but let's talk to Joe Wilson for a few minutes, and then we'll get back to me and you. I'm with Mark Crispin Miller. You're listening to Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. It's 27 past the hour.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Light in the now passe blog movement. And our very own lovable curmudgeon, Eric Altman, all next time on For Rankin.
We're back. It's 34 past the hour. Mark Maron, Mark Riley is out on jury duty today. This morning's edition on Air America Radio. Mark Crispin Miller, the author, writer, performance artist, academic, is with me. His book, which one is the best one to talk about? Cruel and Unusual, Bush and Cheney's New World Order, is out. Also, What Went Wrong with Ohio, the Conyers Report on the 2004 presidential election is out this week. We're going to talk about that in a second. But right now, joining us on the phone from Washington, D.C., is Ambassador Joseph Wilson. His New York Times bestseller, The Politics of Truth, Inside the Lies That Put the White House on the Trial and Betrayed Put the White House on Trial and Betrayed My Wife's CIA Identity is out in paperback this week. Ambassador Wilson, good morning.
Good morning. It's a long title.
It is a long title.
It's a lot easier.
Yeah, so what is going on with the case? Are you any closer to figuring out who outed your wife?
Well, I've got a pretty good idea how this thing came down from what people have told me. It was a group in the White House who basically decided they were going to get Joe Wilson and run an intel op against me. Now, who made the phone calls? And who or if anybody will ultimately be indicted, I have no knowledge of that. I think the stumbling block right now is this case with Judy Miller and Matt Cooper.
Right.
That is sitting in front of the Supreme Court. There have been reports that the Supreme Court would not get to it till the fall session. That was in USA Today. There's another, I think, more reliable report that they'll probably deal with it in June.
Briefly explain to us, you know, why those two are on trial.
Well, apparently they have some information, or they may have some information related to the potential commission of a crime that the special counsel needs. And the question is whether or not they're entitled to protect their sources, the confidentiality of their sources, when, in fact, they may have been a witness to a crime as they were receiving the information from that source.
Okay.
There have been court cases. The precedent was established in the early 70s. There have now been 11 judges who have looked at the claim that these reporters have been making and have rejected it. In my judgment, it would be terrible for them to go to jail. After all, at the end of the day, somebody is sitting in the senior halls of the administration who talked to these people.
Sure.
Him or her to stand by callously and cowardly and watch two journalists go to jail for what he or she said to them.
It's only two journalists, Ambassador Wilson. Why is Bob Novak not one of them?
Well, but Novak, of course, isn't talking except when it's convenient for him to talk. He's not answering questions. He will just when you guys talk to Eric Alterman, he'll be able to tell you how Novak backed out of a debate he was supposed to do in Santa Barbara with Alterman.
Novak was the first one to mention your wife's name.
That's right. Novak wrote the article, which described my wife as a CIA operative, even though the CIA had told him not to. Now, the fact that he's not in the docket with Cooper and Miller suggests one of two things. One, he either spoke candidly to the special counsel, and the special counsel has no more need of his information. Or two, he was advised he was the subject of the investigation and exercised his right against self-incrimination. I suspect it is not the second, because I think the prosecutor, or most people who look at this, think the prosecutor probably would have offered him immunity in exchange for his testimony.
Right.
He probably did not evoke his right to protect his sources. Otherwise, he would be involved in this case with Miller and Cooper, I think.
So, Ambassador, my friend Mark Chrisman Miller, who's here with me, and I were talking about this particular administration as being a sort of a strange, isolated cabal that, you know, is not playing by the rules of government or Washington in any sort of historical context. Is that true?
Well, I think that's a nice way of saying it's a neo-fascist criminal organization.
And now, Mark Chris Miller, did you want to ask him about, you know, what it was like to be, you know, how do you want to phrase it?
Well, I have the same morbid curiosity as everybody else, and this is kind of a TV reporter's question, but I'm curious to know how it feels to be in the crosshairs of this gang. How far do they go to intimidate you?
Well, obviously they've gone extraordinarily far with the smear campaign based on lies and disinformation run by the Republicans last summer. They've gone about as far as I can go without actually taking me out and shooting me or throwing me into Guantanamo. So from a personal perspective, it's not terribly pleasant. Right. It hasn't been easy on the family. It hasn't been easy on my wife, who is an innocent in all of this. But at the same time, the battle we're talking about here is a battle for the future of the country.
Right.
When Bill Moyer spoke the other day out in St. Louis.
We played some of that today.
That speech is available on C-SPAN.
Yeah.
I think he lays it out completely. This is a fight for our democracy.
Absolutely.
And one casualty, more or less, is not that important. Relative to the stakes that we're playing for.
Is there any new revelations in the paperback version of the book, Ambassador?
Well, I don't know. Russ Hoyle did a chapter. He's a journalist who did his own separate investigation, looked into the Niger forgeries case and looked into the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, and I think that he comes up with some interesting observations.
Well, great.
That were kind of overlooked by some of the reporting when that investigation came out. I also take advantage of the opportunity to talk a little bit about this smear campaign and what was behind it.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us, Ambassador.
Well, it's great to be with you guys.
And we'll get the book out there, The Politics of Truth Inside the Lies That Put the White House on Trial and Betrayed My Wife's CIA Identity, out in paperback with some new information in there. Kalo, my friend, let's hear that last bit of Bill Moyers that we hadn't heard yet.
One reason I'm in hot water is because my colleagues and I now didn't play by the conventional rules of Beltway journalism. Those rules divide the world into Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, and allow journalists to pretend they have done their job if instead of reporting the truth behind the news, they merely give each side an opportunity to spin the news.
That's Bill Moyers from the National Conference on Media Reform in St. Louis in response to the assault on him, the personal assault and partisan assault on him by Kenneth Tomlinson, the Republican stooge in charge of public broadcasting, which leads us to this, that, you know, I'm holding in my hand what went wrong with Ohio, the Conyers report on the 2004 presidential election. Mark Chris Miller, we talked about hope, and the hope is in this book. Now, I, you know, to my fault on some level, but not to my fault on another level, when just post the election, there was all these numbers, there were equations coming out, there were people trying to prove things, you know, speculations. I use the word political or a conspiracy theorist, which had been appropriated by the right as their frame, and, you know, maybe I used it the wrong way, but this In your book, this isn't about numbers. This is about honest, you know, this is proof
It's proven.
On many levels.
This is an arsenal of smoking guns. Is what this is. You'll notice that most people haven't even heard that this report existed, much less read any of its contents.
Because
when it came out on January 5th, you know, it really might as well have come out on Guam on Christmas Eve. You know, for one thing, the Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee would not agree to let the government printing office print it and bind it. So you literally couldn't get it anywhere offline. Academy Chicago, full disclosure, this is my parents' little publishing company, has come out with this paperback edition. We got Gore Vidal to write an introduction. We have blurbs from Bob Carey and Lewis Lapham and Larry Gelbart. And this will make it clear to people. They can read it for themselves. They have to read between the lines. This is not speculation. This is not wild charges. In other words, it's not the kind of thing that fills the Star report, which the reporters did all read.
And also, it's not, you know, it's not speculation in terms of numbers, of against numbers, of whether or not the probability of a black box voting machine, of this and that.
Right.
This is very hands-on. You can see the plan.
Exactly. The plan in Ohio was to do basically what the movement, I call it a movement, not a party, what the movement did coast to coast. And I'm writing a book on the election generally. What happened in Ohio was a sort of concentrated version of what happened everywhere. What happened everywhere was every possible step was taken to do one of two things, or both at once: cut down the Democratic vote and hype President Bush's numbers. That was it. And it's a mistake to think that there is a single smoking gun behind this. This is where we all founder, you know, really the press, I should say, founders. Well, what's the smoking gun? Well, first of all, we know since Rodney King that there's no such thing as a smoking gun.
Right.
Because if they don't want it to smoke, they'll say it's not smoking, right? But the fact is, this was a movement that took place at many, many levels. I should say movement. I mean, this was a subversion of democracy.
And I imagine on some of those levels, there was something at par with Hannah Arendt's, the idea that some people were just following orders.
Well, some people were just following orders. Yeah. I think a lot of the people at the grassroots who...
The banality of evil.
Who threw themselves into this are religious extremists who... We have to understand this. Democrats and liberals just don't get this because it's inconceivable to them. But these are people who regard their adversaries, that's you and me, the audience, they regard their adversaries as devils.
The Christo-fascist zombie brigades.
Well, they regard us as demons. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
The thing is that we ought not to focus on them and caricature them and so on, so much as we ought to focus on their conception of us. Because if you say believed in demons and angels and you were politically involved, you would certainly say to yourself, "There is no sin in lying. There's probably no sin in murder
if you're fighting evil." Yeah.
And that's what. The Conyers report doesn't get into this interpretative dimension.
Sure, no.
But it's filled with stuff about how the recount in Ohio was systematically undermined. It names counties. It names individuals. The Triad company, which manufactured the vote tabulators, that is the vote counting machines, actually sent employees around from county to county to help election officials make sure that there was no discrepancy between the hand recount and the machine count. And this company is run by a big a supporter of President Bush. If this stuff happened in Iraq under Saddam Hussein, in the old Soviet Union, we'd all be laughing hysterically at the brazenness of it all. Here's a gang of people who stole it 4 years ago and who controlled all the machines, the companies that make the pertinent voting machines, and who resorted to a dazzling array of all sorts of other methods, many of them dating from the Jim Crow days, just to make sure that Bush would get his so-called mandate. Let me just cut to the good news.
Okay.
Supposedly, Bush won this election by 11.5 million more votes than last time. This with a disapproval rating of 48-49%. Okay?
Right.
You start to sit down and look at those numbers. They don't even begin to add up. There was nowhere near that number of evangelical voters who, for the first time, voted for George W. Bush. The fact is, Mark, the fact is that the Democrats won this election. the Democrats themselves may be too timid and pusillanimous to stand up and say, yeah, we did. No, let's just play inside baseball. Let's not upset the apple cart. It doesn't really make any difference what they say. The facts suggest that it is, well, there's no evidence for a strong Bush victory.
I get it. And now, this, the great thing about this book is that it's easily readable. It's laid out properly, and it's laid out in a way that you can see the evidence that Mark is talking about. It also, there is no indication this kind of stuff hasn't been gone on for eons, since the beginning of this republic on some level. Not as synchronized and as intense as this, but it is definitely a great book to get. What Went Wrong with Ohio, the Conyers Report on the 2004 presidential election. It's available on Amazon. It's available at Mark Chris Miller Blogspot. .com, as well as your DVD. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back with the Liberal Confessional. It's 47 past the hour.
Y'all ready for this?
Hi, this is Charles Barkley, and you're listening to Mark Maron and Mark Riley. Anything less would be uncivilized. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
866-800-9576-0066, 800-957-6066. Not available in all states.
Two past the hour, Mark Maron here. Mark Riley is awaiting to see whether or not he's going to have jury duty. It's Morning Sedition. It's Air America Radio. I want to thank again Mark Chris Miller for being here with the new book, What Went Wrong in Ohio, the Conyers Report on the 2004 presidential election, with an introduction by Gore Vidal, available at markcrispinmiller.blogspot.com. Also should be on morningsedition.com tomorrow, Amazon and whatnot. You know, I want you to get ready to give your confessions in a call, 866-303-2270, if you have something to confess. Also, we have somebody sitting in that might engage you. He doesn't talk to the public very often. It's not always being a liberal. We all stray from the straight and narrow from time to time, but when we need to unburden ourselves, we can always confess our liberal sins. If you want to take a turn in the liberal confessional, give us a call at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. But right now, it's my turn. And since Brother Riley is not here today, I will give my confessional to our own Cardinal Milfington. Bless me, Cardinal Milfington, for I have sinned.
Lift up your eyes, blasphemer, from the dank pits of Gehelahab, and bring forth to me your embarrassingly shameful confession.
Well, look, I'm feeling a little guilty because I got a couple of letters recently, one from the ACLU and one from the Democratic Party, and they both wanted money.
So did you give unto them your ill-gotten lucre?
No, I haven't, and I don't think I'm going to.
Ye who haveth stacks of cash delivered to your doorstep every morning, a living Filipino manservant, and 15 Vermeers hanging in your foyer? Why the heck not, for Christ's sake? You have half the world's Vermeers.
Because I feel like I'm exempt from having to donate money to these causes because of this job, Cardinal. I'm out there on the front lines every day. I get up at 3 a.m. when everyone else is sleeping. I'm busting it out for the people here.
So just because you wake up 3 hours earlier than Melchizedek did, just before the Thessalonians bound and brutally martyred him by pouring hot myrrh on his privates and applying African fire ants, you think you're already doing enough?
Yeah. And, you know, Greenpeace takes an automatic $15 off my Amex every month, so it's not like I don't donate.
Way to go, Rockefeller. Well, at least that's something, I guess. I don't know.
And besides, where's that Greenpeace money going? They just take it out of my account. It goes where? I'd like them to send me a picture of a whale they've saved or something like that.
Well, what about the poor, the homeless, and the terminally ill? Do you take those filthy greenbacks you earn from your shameful burlesque shows and donate them to other charities, perhaps?
Yeah, you know, I do. I donate some money to the Gunthy Ranker Foundation, and they're the ones that make the... They're actually the ones that put out the Dean Martin DVDs. You know, it's less of a charity if more than I send them money and they send me the DVDs with the roasts and the variety shows, and it's good.
Who exactly benefits from the charity, Mark?
I think we all do because I learn from the greats, you know what I mean? The roasts, the variety shows, come on, you know what I'm talking about.
You mean the ones with Foster Brooks?
Yeah.
Those are hilarious. I mean... He acts drunk, but he's not really drunk. I mean, oh, boy. Yeah, it sure is a gift from God, but does that really do anything positive for mankind? Does it, Mark?
Well, I don't know. Laughter, honoring the traditions of comedy? All right, I'm reaching, okay? I'm cheap, huh? Is that what you're saying? I just don't want to give money to the ACLU?
Yeah. God has spoken to me, Mark. Forsooth, your penance has been revealed.
All right. Well, hit me, Cardinal Melfington.
Today, you will go online and donate $300 to the ACLU for a joint membership under you and your unclean wife's name. In 2 weeks' time, only you will receive a membership card, even though they said they'd send one for your wife, too. No matter how many times you call, you'll never be able to resolve this problem with their membership office. It's really annoying.
Wait, that's it?
Well, okay, you will allow yourself to be sodomized by an endangered whale.
No, isn't that a little severe, even from you, my friend?
No, that's a little best normal for me, Mark, and that's your penance. Now go forth and sin no more, and take your calls, monkey boy.
Amen. All right, well, thank you, Cardinal. Now, if anyone else out there wants to confess and seek absolution in our liberal confessional, or talk to the cardinal, who rarely talks to people. 866-303-2270 is our number. That's 866-303-2270. Have you seen the roasts? I mean,
I've seen a lot of them. Yes.
Yeah. Have you seen the variety show? I mean, you get it. I get sucked in. But, I mean, it's helping something. I don't know if it's going to the Dean Martin Foundation, but the $15 from Greenpeace, maybe I should just send the ACLU money. I don't. The Democratic Party had a poll.
They had a poll?
Well, it's like you had to fill out the top 10 reasons why you know, what you think is important. You know what? Call us with your confession, 866-303-2270. It's 57 past the hour. Hour. Good morning, geniuses. It's Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. Mark Riley out today, waiting to see if he will be selected for jury duty. With me in the studio is actually Cardinal Melfington, and we are here taking liberal confessions, 866-303-2270. If you have a liberal confession, if you have transgressed the liberal agenda and you feel guilty about it, we are issuing some penance. You know, here we go. Here's our first one. Jack, what is your sin, Jack, listening to LIB? Or wait, no. Ed in Boston, what is your... No, Jack. Jack in New York, listening to LIB 1190. What is your sin, sir?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to watch a movie last week on television. So there were three movies. One starred John Wayne, one starred Barbara Streisand, and the other Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
I don't know how I did it. I tried to tell myself there must have been something wrong with the remote control, but I turned on the John Wayne movie.
Oh, my God.
I feel terrible about it. I don't know. But it wasn't the remote control. I think I really did it myself.
Well, you know, depending on what John Wayne movie, you know, sometimes with fictional characters and history and how you grew up, you know, sometimes you're going to be compelled towards these characters that these insane Republicans may have, portrayed. But I think this is a bit of a transgression. I think now you have to, your penance is you're going to have to watch at least five Barbara Streisand movies in 1 week. And unfortunately, some of the ones are going to have to be after 1980. Which means that you will have to watch Yentl. You're going to have to watch The Prince of Tides, and then I will give you your choice of the earlier ones. But I'm sorry, it's going to have to be a Barbra Streisand film festival for you, and that's your penance, Jack. Can you handle it?
I think so. I think I have to.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling, man. I don't wish that on anybody, but the guy's got to pay. He's got to pay. Am I right? Ed, listening to WXKS in Boston. How are you, Ed? What is your sin?
Hey, Mark, I've been wanting to call your show for a long time. I love your show.
Thank you.
I've got two, actually. The first one is I've been praying that Jerry Falwell have a slow, agonizing death for about 20 years.
Yes, we've prayed for
that. Damned if he isn't, you know. I feel totally guilty.
I got to be honest with you, Ed. It probably didn't have a lot to do with your prayers, but it may have had something, but you do feel guilty. right?
Yeah.
Well, I say,
yeah.
Well, then I'd say since Jerry is old, I'd say maybe shift your prayers onto one of the younger evangelicals and start praying for them to die. You know, one of, let's say, well, James Dobson, maybe his son. I think you should start praying for James Dobson's son's slow and painful death, and then maybe that will, you know, at least distract you. I know this is wrong in what I'm saying, but you know what? I do think that these prayers need to be directed that way. So to relieve you, I'll tell you what, say a prayer for Jerry as he passes in a positive way and start praying for the death of a younger evangelical leader.
I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do either anymore. You know, the power of prayer is too strong there, Mark.
Okay, well, how about this? How about this? Maybe say, you know, be a man about it and just, you know, say, you know, ask for forgiveness because obviously you're a believing kind of guy. Ask for forgiveness for praying so long about, you know, Jerry's dying and now he's going to die. And then just how about wish that one of the younger evangelicals at least gets how about we find out another one forcefully anally raped his wife or perhaps had sex with animals. Yes.
How about this?
Yes.
How about we hope, don't pray for it, one day on Fox News, we're just watching it while we're channel surfing.
Yeah.
And somebody on Fox News goes, this just in, Jerry Falwell has pneumonia due to the fact that he contracted AIDS in a homosexual relationship.
Well, I'm
and
glad
you can watch everybody in Fox News' head explode.
Well, I'm so glad you've become a better person, Ed. Yeah. Thank you very much. You've chosen
Mark,
your own penance.
Mark,
yeah, what?
Mark, can I just say something here about
sure.
Ed's penance?
I'm sorry. Yes, Cardinal.
I think you're completely off base with
yeah.
his penance.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Ed?
Yeah.
Are you still there?
Yep.
I want you to read, consult Ezekiel 38, Daniel 9:27, and watch a John Wayne movie.
Okay, there you go.
All right. Thank you. I'm sorry, Cardinal. I forgot I had a man on the clock here. And again, I just want to clear up that I don't wish anybody forcible. I don't want
sodomy.
Anyone to be forcefully sodomized. That is not what I want. When I make allusion to that, it's just in my joy that an evangelical leader is going down for being a heinous hypocrite. Dorothy in Florida. Is this the Dorothy I know? You have a sin, Dorothy?
Hello. Yes, I do.
How are you? Is this my friend Dorothy, whose house I was at?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Nice to talk to you. What could you have possibly done wrong?
It was bad. I was at an annual medical convention with my husband, and the speaker was Governor Bush, and he came and sat in the table next to us, and this woman started crying, and I thought that meant, of course, she hated him as much as I did, but I think it was some kind of sick gratitude, and instead of putting my big girl panties on and dealing with it, I just sat there and didn't say anything. I didn't confess outrage or curse her. I just sat there. I'm so ashamed.
Oh, my God, Dorothy, that's horrible. You should. I can't believe you didn't say anything. Oh,
you know,
what are we going to do? You know, you and Oregon are going to have to, you already do so much, but I guess you're going to have to, what do you think, Cardinal? Do you got something for us? You didn't stand up and say, quit crying, you baby, this guy's evil or nothing.
Well, Mark, my honest opinion, I think she should slake her lust.
What does that mean?
In the pit of misery.
Wow. Dorothy, can you slake your lust?
Can you define that a little more specifically? I'm
drinking, heavy drinking, a lot of that.
Wow.
And
okay.
You're in Oregon, right? Try some pot. A lot of pot.
This is crazy.
Pot.
Wait,
pot and drinking.
And also, I think that you're going to have to get that that fellow that you was at your party elected. You're going to be able to do that?
The man that wore the flag of the dress.
Yes, get the guy who wore the flag of the dress, you know, get him onto the state legislator. Could he do that?
Well, you know, the FBI did clear the cult that he formed, so I think maybe there's a shot at it now.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for calling, Dorothy.
All righty.
Bye. I feel like my penance are not as effective as they should be. Damn. MK, listening to LIB in 1190 here in New York. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
I'm good. What's your sin?
Well, I grew up Catholic, so I have to do the whole thing with the statement.
Yeah.
So can I confess directly to the Cardinal?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Bless me, Cardinal, for I have sinned, and it has been lots of years since my last confession. These are my sins. Okay, well, I received unholy pleasure from my old cat's litter box accident, and I have no guilt about it at all. And what happened was I strategically placed the New York Times with Bush's face on the cover, underneath her litter box, not just like right near the edge. And then finally one day she missed the box. And she peed dead center on W's face. And it just made me feel really happy. And, I mean, I felt really happy about that.
Hmm. So all the news that's fit to taint was tainted yet again.
Yes.
By your cat's urine.
And it was artful and joyful.
Okay, you can't argue with that. That was okay. There's no penance. What are you calling for?
No, what is it? Am I supposed to be guilty?
No, you're not guilty of anything. Hang up. This is ridiculous.
Oh, I'm
this
sorry.
This is a sham. The whole penance thing is a sham.
Wait, MK, these are sins against the liberal agenda. What happened there is that your cat made a wonderful creative decision and didn't even know it. If anyone has to pay penance, it's your cat, and she didn't know, so you're off the hook. Enjoy the fun pee on the president's face. It's a great, wonderful thing. Nature has given it to you. If the cat peed on the president, it is a gift from God, MK. So don't feel any guilt any longer.
Yeah, and your cat has a brain the size of a walnut, so didn't think very hard when it was doing this either. So
maybe my sin is that I didn't, you know, take a picture of it. And
that's, my friend, is your sin. Thank you for calling, MK. Thank you all for calling. Yeah, thank you. We'll be back with Judy Gold. It's 15 past the hour. Thank you for being here this morning, folks.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
19 past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. Mark Riley is out for jury duty. Momentarily, I'm going to have Judy Gold with me. She's actually right here. She's sitting right here already.
Wait, why does he have to be at jury duty? Like, don't you have to be there at, like, 9?
Well, he wanted to get ready. You know, Riley takes his time. He likes to, you know, prepare. He likes to get places a little earlier. You know what I mean? He's, you know, he didn't want to be rushed. I didn't question him.
Time did you get up this morning?
Do you want me to tell people who you are? Are you acting like everybody knows who you are? Judy Gold is a comedian. She's been on everything. You're going to be at the Zipper Theater. I'm saying nice things about you. Are you hearing it? Nice things?
Right.
Okay. She'll be at the Zipper Theater. When is that? Is that a real theater?
Yeah, right, she'll be on Thursday. And then I'm there again on Monday.
Oh, that's where they moved the Eating It show, right? And you'll be at Gotham this weekend. Right. I was at. You okay? You do radio much? There's a cough button. That's okay. Take your time.
Right.
It's nice to see you. But,
well, the cough button, I have to sit in the crappy seat. Sorry.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Watch this. I'm going to do a comedy piece. It's hilarious. All right. Sometimes when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So luckily, we have an iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator right here. Do you see it?
No, I don't.
I do.
Thank you, Chris.
Oh, there it is.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's
right
by the cough button.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, let's crank it up and feed it some headlines. What do you say? Here we go from the New York Times. Newsweek says it is retracting Quran report. Translation, Bush declares victory in war on media, claims they hate our freedom. No, not Tesla. Wait. All right, let's try it one more time. Pentagon proves Quran was thrown into urinal, not toilet.
Oh, there's a difference between that.
Yeah.
Because one has number two.
I'm going to do another one. Okay. From Associated Press, Mexico's Fox regrets comments about blacks. Mexico's Fox regrets comments about blacks. Translation, Fox says he's sorry if he offended any of those people. Oh, yeah. How about this one? Missing Chappelle finds new material for show. All right, one more, and then we'll talk to you.
I like that one.
I want you to let go of whatever you're holding on to. You're not mad at me, right?
Why would I be mad at you?
I don't know. You okay?
Yeah.
All right, I love you.
Here we go.
Belief in sex mad demon test nerves in Zanzibar. Belief in sex mad demon test nerves in Zanzibar. Translation, worldwide superstition threat level set to hilarious. Yay!
That was hilarious.
It was. I could tell by the laughter, but I don't expect that from you. look at that. That was fake.
I laugh on the inside.
That was fake radio laughter.
You like that?
I did like it. What's going on? How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm very good. I'm very busy.
What's going on? Are you doing a one-person show at the Zipper? What is that about?
No. I'm doing a one-person show in Montreal at the Comedy Festival.
You are?
Yeah.
That's exciting. I've been up there. Have you been up? You've been up there a million times.
Yeah.
You act
like you have done everything and no one else has done it. Okay?
Yeah.
Your wife is really pretty, by the way.
I know. She's hot, right?
Yeah, she's really hot.
I told her she was going to come. I wanted her to come in and hang out with you.
Why didn't she?
She ended up not being able to sleep that well. But she's a huge Judy Gold fan.
I love her.
She looks up to you. She is, isn't it?
I'm just saying. I don't understand why she's with you, is what I'm trying to say.
No, that's hilarious.
Thank you.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I know what's going on. You got a thing for my wife, and I understand that. I can live with that. I don't get jealous. You know why? She's too beautiful for me to
really
get jealous.
She really is beautiful.
How can I get jealous? I'd be walking around with cancer. You know what I mean?
Just from jealousy.
Jealous cancer. How's your love
life?
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. But wait, can you get cancer from being jealous?
Of course you can. Where do you think cancer comes from? Cancer doesn't come from food. It doesn't come from cigarettes. It comes from you going, why is that person with that? God, how come I can't? Ow! And just every time you suppress that, tumors develop inside of you. Yes, and they have the face of your parents. You have little tumors.
I like that.
You do?
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So
ask me more questions.
Okay, what's your one-person show about?
Well, Mark, what it is we interviewed Jewish mothers all around the country for about 5 years.
That's terrific.
Thank you very much.
It's based on those.
It's like the vagina monologues
only with
of Jewish
mothers. Yeah.
But it's also my story, which is fascinating.
And you are a Jewish mother, and you have a Jewish mother.
I am a Jewish mother, and I have a Jewish mother. I'm a lesbian.
Yes. And
well, so it's kind of like...
Do you talk to Jewish lesbian mothers, or do you talk to...
I did. We did interview a couple, but they were crazy.
How many times was this said during... Is you use videotapes, or is it just...
Yes, video and audio.
How many times was this said? What?
What?
What? How many times? You did what? What is this for? What are you interviewing me for?
Now, why do I have to sign this release?
How many times is that said? A lot.
What does it say? Can I get a copy of the video? Like, we would videotape. It's like me talking to you, and then you going, can I have a videotape of that? Like, from this morning.
Yeah.
Can I give you my address? I can get a videotape.
Where did you go? Did you go to Florida?
No.
Where'd you go?
We went around the tri-state area.
Yeah.
Utah.
You went to Utah to talk to Jews?
Someone else was there and did
it. You have someone working for you talking to Jewish mothers in Utah?
The playwright actually interviewed someone in
Utah. So you worked on this with another person?
Yes. And then we went to Reno, Tahoe, Vegas. I mean, where I was working, basically.
You found, can I talk about me for 1 second?
No.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
You can. No. Because you never get to talk about yourself. So why don't you go ahead? Let's talk about your wife. No, go ahead.
My wife is so hot, isn't she?
I know. What did she do?
She's so funny, though.
Did she come to you, or you went to her?
I met her at a comedy club, but she is hilariously funny. Did you see her perform yet?
No.
Oh, you have to.
See, that is, I think, the sexiest thing in the entire world.
What?
Funny.
Yeah, I do, too. And she makes me laugh. You make me laugh.
I
find you very sexy because you're making me laugh.
Really?
If you weren't making me laugh, I'd be...
So wait, where'd you meet her?
I think I met her at the New York Comedy Club or somewhere.
Really?
But I want to talk about Jews in Utah.
Okay, go ahead.
I went to Utah and I did a Jewish community center.
No, you didn't.
I did.
In Salt Lake City?
In Salt Lake City, the Jewish community center.
And what are they like? Are they Mormon Jews?
Well, the guy from Chabad.
I got no laugh on the Mormon Jews. What the hell is going on here? They're Jews with a lot of husbands who don't talk.
Exactly.
They have one. There's a woman who talks a lot, and then there's like five guys behind her. That's the polygamy. And they don't talk. They just stand there with their shoulders down. All right, go ahead.
The Chabad rabbi came to the show, and I asked him for a ride to the airport because I figured that Chabad.
Did you curse in front of the Chabad rabbi?
I did. I cursed in
what
front
did
of
you
Chabad.
Say?
Well, they're cool. They just want you to sort of, they have the outside chance that you might become Orthodox, so they're very...
Did they have the payas and the tzitzit hanging out and the hat?
Yes.
See, the unattractive thing, I mean, not that the whole Hasidic, look is attractive at all, but that plus the heat in Utah in the summer, not a good combination. Okay?
How about the women with the wigs? Anything?
I find that really attractive. I mean, to pull a wig off a woman.
Hot.
Hot.
We're
going to
be back with Antigone Rising and Judy Gold. It is 27 past the hour. Please stay here because it's funny now and there's going to be singing.
Yeah.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less. Air America Radio.
Begins with M. Moron at the microphone. M.
The Mike Molloy Show on 1190 WLIB.
Before past the hour, Mark Maron here. Mark Riley is out at jury duty today. With me right now, Judy Gold. Very happy, Judy Gold.
I'm very happy. This is like such a... I'm so glad I got up.
Because standing in front of Judy Gold is the band Antigone Rising. We have three of the five members. We have Kristen and Kathy Henderson. Who are you?
Right here.
Hello. How are you? And we have Cassidy, the lead singer. How are you? One name person. Just Cassidy.
Wait, you guys are sisters?
Absolutely, yes.
Wow.
We look alike, and that's on purpose.
You got a little bit of mouth. Yeah, the beard, the facial hair is good.
All right, I don't want to interrupt anything. But what? Why
you?
You
know what?
What?
I think they would rather talk to me than you.
Oh, I just saw that Cassidy was talking to you because apparently you've seen Judy.
Judy.
Oh.
What?
Well, went to see you in the village and sat in the front row and seriously wet our pants watching you and still talk about it.
Go ahead.
Boy, you opened the door for me about the wet pants, but go ahead. Did you fall down? Oh, I get that all the time.
Oh, so, anyway, isn't this cute?
Thank you, Cassidy. Love you, too. We don't want her to die, though.
So now the record... It's called From the Ground Up. It's available exclusively at Starbucks for now.
Yeah.
You're
Wait, did they give you free coffee this morning?
Yes. No.
Did you pick up the CD? Did you just pick up the CD and hold it? Look, that's us. See? Look.
They recognize you?
Yeah. The girl came from behind the counter and she sort of pointed at the picture and pointed it up like, and we said, that's right. I know.
Wait, what about, can we...
You can at least get free coffee, right?
All right. No, let's talk about the guy down there who's like, hi, what would you like? Oh, my God, his eyes. I was like, what is wrong with you?
There's something weird about some Starbucks people. They seem kind of like...
Yeah, like they're
like
in a cult.
The Starbucks
kind
cult?
Kind of like, oh, you know what you have to do? You know what you have
but
to do?
But don't we all drink the Kool-Aid? Aren't we somewhat a little bit all
Just
in the
shut
Starbucks?
Up. You have to call the Cold Stone Creamery 800 number. Oh, my God. Just call the 800 number of Cold Stone Creamery. Hi! You reach Cold Stone. I mean, it's like
Can I ask you a weird question?
What?
Yeah, why would you call
because
it? Because too much free
it's a
time
long
on your
story, but a friend of mine's sister opened a Cold Stone Creamery, and she called up the main number, and she called me back. She goes, you have to call. It's like this, like, culty.
Can I just reach out? Judy needs a job. Is there somebody out there?
Shut up. So, anyway, can I just say, so the guy downstairs at Starbucks is like, hi. So he says to this woman, and she was Indian or something, what's your name? Because there were only two people there, so he had to remember her name because, you know, there's always like 10 people behind the counter.
Sure,
and,
sure.
All right, so she goes, Babo.
Yeah.
And he said, excuse me? And she goes, Mary. And then he does a turnaround and he goes, Babo's such a beautiful man. I'm like, all right. Yes, he did.
He's trying to
find out what medication he's on.
He gave me my name. I thought he was trying to pick me up. And I was like, excuse me?
Yeah. And
I'm like, I just want my coffee.
No, he's a little on the gay side. He was gay.
Isn't it weird that we have a...
Slightly. I have gaydar.
We get angry at people for being too accommodated because
No,
crazy.
It was over. Was it not over the top?
No, you know
and
what?
And the puppy dog
you know
eyes.
What, though? We were never happy. And if he was rude, we'd be talking about that. Right? Yeah.
Cassidy, what are you doing later?
You want to hang out?
Okay. All right, bye.
This is getting good. I'm happy.
Getting hot
is,
in here.
Well, yeah, that's why I wanted Judy to be here for you guys.
We love Judy, no lie.
Okay, good. So you're going to sing a song?
Yeah, we're going to sing a song.
What song is this?
This song is called Don't Look Back, and this is actually the first single the video is on VH1 today.
They're releasing
really?
It today?
Yeah.
And you're going to be on The Tonight Show when?
We're going to be on The Tonight Show on the 27th, which
oh
is a Friday night.
Yeah.
We're going to go to The Tonight Show.
Not
that I'm excited.
Keep your thing that you get on your door.
Okay.
Yeah.
We get our own door, Judy?
Yeah, you'll get your own dressing
room,
and then you'll get
a door.
Yeah, you get a name, and it might be the only thing you have to show for your tonight show. I'm sorry. What? Why are you looking at me like that?
And you'll get a little gift back.
Oh.
You're going to have so much, it's so much fun.
I can't wait. So right. It's kind of a big deal. Kind of.
All right, so we're singing.
Total.
We singing?
Yes. The song's called Don't Look Back.
Antigone Rising.
Thank you.
Heard you talk about leaving. Heard you talk about leaving before. Heard you talk about giving up on me. Heard you talk about changing. Talk is cheap and I've heard it all before. It used to be that I'd fall apart, but that don't work no more. Cause you can't leave halfway, and I can't let you stay. So take your promise, take your pain, take your restless heart. If you go, go all the way, don't look back. Cause in my heart you've been gone so long, I won't miss you. Ask me why I'm not crying, cause I did all of my crying before. I took off my pity party dress and I don't dance no more. Cause I don't need someone else to make me feel myself. Take your promise, take your pain, take your restless heart. If you go, go all the way, don't look back. In my heart you've been gone so long, I won't miss you that bad. If you go, go all the way, don't look back. If you go, go all the way, don't look back. Take your restless heart. If you go, go all the way. Don't look back, no. Oh, cause in my heart you've been gone so long, but I won't miss you there, better. If you go, go all the way. Don't look back. If you go, go all. Heard you talk about leaving. Oh, I heard you talk about leaving me before. No, 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 no.
Yes. Antigone Rising.
Oh my God, you guys are great.
That was great.
You're amazing.
Thanks.
No, my God, I love it. I love it, love it. You're great.
Who writes the songs?
Barry Manilow.
Oh, stop.
You are so fast.
Kathy, you write all the songs?
I do with Kristen or Kathy, and we all three do. It kind of depends, but yeah, I'm sort of.
Great guitar sound.
I enjoy that little plucky pluck at the end. No.
Like that.
Yeah.
I'm like a...
My Kathy always say Plucky Pluck.
Plucky Pluck is so fantastic. Cordy Cordman over here.
Goodness.
And then Singy Singerman.
Yes. It's a good tone, though. I'm sort of a bedroom guitar player, and I just like electric guitars. Very nice tone. Thank
you.
Yeah,
you guys are amazing.
Thank you.
So now you're going to do the Today Show as well?
Yeah.
Today Show.
Outside? You're going to be outside. Yeah.
All right. Great.
Judy will be there with a sign.
We get paraded into their offices, like on a morning thing, kind of like this. We have a meeting with their booker. And
why
do you
go to the meeting with them?
Because
they just listen to the CD.
You know what? I don't know if you... nobody's heard of us. So it's kind of one of...
I know
it's shocking. But it's one of those things that, like, you know, they got to make sure that you're not, like... horrible. So we go into the office and we're standing in a tiny office and we sing like this. We just did a trio thing. And
speaking of trio,
great. hello.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom. Yeah. Right, so I can't talk now.
So you're doing the trio thing.
So we're doing the trio thing, and they offered us a date right there on the spot. And Jason Flom, hi, Jason, I know you're listening. Love you.
Mm-hmm.
He freaked out. He couldn't believe it. I mean, typically it doesn't happen that fast. Right. So the 30th, we're going to be on the Today Show. Outside. Full band rocking the house. Yeah.
Are you going to go, Judy? Are you like their fan club now? Are you going to go?
We're a full band, by the way.
Why are you looking at me like you hate men? Please.
I love men. We already have
all right.
That's right. Well,
I understand.
Love men, don't want...
Yes,
them on top of you and sweating.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. But here's the deal. I want all the dish. You have to give me all the dish about Katie, Matt.
Everything.
Yeah, Al.
Oh,
everyone. Okay. I want to know, you know, how...
Okay, so we're going to... We'll talk on the break. You guys can talk on the break. I'm going to take a break.
But other people want to hear the conversation we're having.
Well, we're going to have it when we come back in some more songs. Would that be okay, Judy?
You're doing another song.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll be back with Judy Gold and Antigone Rising. It's 45 past the hour. Good morning.
Morning Sedition.
Just wake up.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
I've heard about those people.
On Air America Radio.
Thanks.
And so call us right now. 800-430-9571. 800-430-9571.
We're 9 past the hour. Mark Maron here. Mark Riley is up for jury duty. He's not here today. I'm here with Judy Gold, who is drooling over the members of Antigone Rising.
Shut up.
Kristen,
I am not.
You are too. Kathy Henderson and Cassidy are here to sing, and Judy is like, it's unbelievable.
Wait.
You are sweating. You're not even paying attention to me. You know, before they came in, we were having a nice conversation.
About your
wife. You're like, please.
But here's the deal.
Yes.
Because there's actually five members. There's five members of Antigone Rising.
And the other two are very cute.
And
they
one
are?
Of them,
oh, yeah.
But wait, one of them is a Republican?
Wait, why are they sleeping and you're here?
I don't know. That's actually an excellent question.
You do? You take turns? What do they play, the other two?
Bass and drums.
Oh, that'll be good. Bass and drum, no guitar.
In a band, that's essential.
They're on Howard Stern this morning.
No, they're not.
No.
They're with Hannity.
I think I like
that's
the middle one.
They're with Hannity this morning.
You know what? Yeah, I'm not sure I do either. Do you want to do another song?
Now the
guitar player is hitting on Judy.
No, but wait.
She just said that the other members aren't. Just wait a minute.
I'm co-hosting. Can you co-host?
Wow.
Unbelievable.
No, we're just Jews. And this is the way Jews interact.
I can't believe we can't get a word in.
I'll talk to Judy about that. Go ahead. There you go. Get a word in.
Hi, Mom.
Wait, so I want to hear about the Republicans.
Yeah, what is the other members of the Republicans?
We're thinking the same thing, Mark.
Well, we love Dina.
What does she play?
Drums.
And she's a Republican drummer?
Yes.
We're going to, so you don't want to say anything bad about her. We understand that. But she's not not here.
With more conservative values.
But she's not here because it's her America. She's just not here.
No,
she's okay, well, then we'll just play a song in her. What?
We can't talk for one more second?
No, we got to go to the next song. What? You got to stop hearing that. What's the next song called?
This song is called What, and this is for all of the socially conscious people listening today.
Except for Dina.
Well, yeah.
The drummer?
Yeah.
Oh.
Lost inside the pattern of those who'll never matter. Speak to you of freedom, rages getting fatter. Empty as your beer can,
crush me. You're a madman hanging on to the story of hate in your head. The history of hate in your head. Words cannot say to pull you from behind. Words you're thinking, you believe in nothing, hollow, I see you're not holding, you're not bluffing, now we can't ignore you, now we can't afford to, and standing on your chest are those that go before you, what can I say? What can I say to make you change your mind? To make you change your mind. So ugly, like a handprint in the icing of one more forgotten birthday of a child. No one noticed, lay the bill upon the table, hope for punishment that's better than the silence that surrounds you, the love that never found you. And what can I say? Thinking you believe in nothing.
You guys,
Antigone Rising.
Thank you. Right,
that was awesome. So the CD is available at Starbucks. It's called
From the Ground Up.
From the Ground Up. Sorry about the technical difficulties, but once it got through that, your guitar sounded beautiful, your voice sounded beautiful, everybody sounded great.
Okay.
You're just going to kick it out. The narrative voiceover for the guitar solo. Are you touring with the record? What's going on? Do you have
Actually, for our New York City and tri-state area people, Wednesday night, we're at the Supper Club.
This Wednesday,
really? Supper Club, New York City,
and
tomorrow
tickets
night.
Are still available for that?
On sale and still available, and it's going to be killer. It's going to be a full-on rock show.
It's you?
It's a cool band, yeah. Chris Trapper from the Push Stars.
She is, but she's not a lesbian.
The Push Stars, who are a Boston band, are actually
They're going to opening for you?
Yeah, so.
How long have you guys been doing rock and roll, actually? Collectively or individually?
Our whole lives, really. I mean, the band started in 99.
Kathy and I were together
from birth. Oh, yeah,
because
you're sisters.
Right. Did you fight a lot when you were kids? Because you're both musicians.
We
and
played karate.
Really?
Were you in other bands? Or was
I was a songwriter out in Los Angeles for a while, and the girls had a sort of acoustic
thing that they did here in the city. Mm-hmm.
All
and
right.
We got it together in 99.
All right, well, Antigone Rising, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Guys
are great. We are thrilled to be
here. Thank you for being here tomorrow.
You guys are doing God's work.
Oh, thank you.
Just want you to know.
Mark Riley will be back tomorrow. Author Gerald Posner will tell us why the Saudis rigged their oil fields. Plus, we'll have the war on brains and me. And that's good. Yeah, he's coming.